Boy, I've heard about this church before, Energizer. So let's really give it up tonight for Jesus in the house. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, we worship you. Incredible. Woo! Hey, God bless you. Please be seated. It's incredible. What a privilege to be here. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for letting me take your spot here, man. It's just all right. God bless you to your pastor, Dave, and his wife. I've heard about this church and your pastor from Kevin Wilcock. I've been friends with Kevin for many years. He's a great guy. And so it's great to be here tonight. Boy, the music's pumping along and energized. I mean, it's all in the name, isn't it? Amazing. Who's here for the first time tonight? Can I see your hand if you're visiting? Come on, let's say, just give him a big clap. That's right. Wow. Well, I'm in sunny North Queensland in a place called Mackay. So thanks, Hobart, for putting the nice weather on for us, because my wife and I, we freeze when we get down here in the ice and snow and everything. But mind you, I was born in Hobart, 1950. Great year. So that's you got my age already. But don't be deceived. I'm just as excited as Dan is. All right? I'm on fire. And I tell you what, I incredibly blessed man to be able to travel the world, actually. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter Africa or through Asia or New Zealand or all through Australia. It doesn't matter where you go. God is touching people, and it's just all sorts of people. It doesn't matter what nationality. It's amazing. It's wonderful when the Holy Spirit touches someone's life and they're just transformed. It's no different in this place here tonight. God is thoroughly in love with people. And I want to talk about that tonight. We'll sing some songs about God's incredible love, but I want to just share along those lines as well. You know, Jesus was known to be a friend of the sinner. He had multitudes of sinners. These are people that were doing some ugly stuff. These were people that had some issues in their life that, you know, religion just wrote them off and said, you'll never make it. You're an idiot. You're wasting space on the planet. But not as far as Jesus was concerned. He just had a great love for people. And there's one thing that Jesus did not do. He didn't put people down. He had a great multitude following him. He loved the sinner. And there's one thing, I'll say it again, he didn't do. He didn't put you down. He didn't put them down. And in this place tonight, he does not put you down. It's only condemnation that will put you down. Condemnation will say to you, you're not good enough. Condemnation will say you've failed in life. Condemnation will say, well, doesn't matter if you've prayed, 24 and a half hours in the day. And we know there's not that many hours in the day, but you prayed 24 and a half hours. Condemnation will say you still didn't pray enough. You didn't read the word enough. You just didn't do this enough. You didn't give enough. Everything is against you. But Jesus is not against us. And I want to just look from the Word of God tonight, because we've got to have that. I just run on this. It's just about the grace of God. He is amazing. And if we, I mean, you're a young church here, an energizer church. Hobart or Bellarive or wherever you are, or wherever you're reaching out in Nepal, or is it Nepal or Nepal? Nepal. Nepal, wherever you're reaching out to, it's going to be grace. And out of this place, it's going to flow. If we just really can really get a handle on the love of God and how he loves us, how Jesus' incredible love, that's what drove him to the cross. If we can really get a hold of that in our heart, we will just run with that, and people will come in by the droves to be saved. I'll just give you a very, very quick story of where I sort of came from, because often people ask, you know, because I'm just here just for a little while, but people ask, you know, they often wonder how you got saved. It was a very great time for me. It was just God's love touched me. But I grew up in Tasmania on the northwest coast on a farm, right? So I was a little church boy. My parents took me to Sunday school. But when it came time for high school, because we lived out in the country and there are high schools around, so they had to send me either to Smithton. Anyone heard of Smithton? I had to either go to Smithton and stay in a, you know, board in a house. But maybe my parents thought I might have roamed the streets, so they thought, no, that's a bad option. And so they sent me to Launceston Grammar School, you know, Launceston. Okay, right. So that's where I was. Little grammar boy in the little, that was it. I sang in the choir. Not that I was a good singer, but I joined the choir because it got me out of homework on a Wednesday night. And so that was a good reason to join the choir. The choir boys, they wore a blue and white uniform. But after a while, I got sick of that. I thought, I like the altar boys. They were wearing red and white. So I changed over. And that gave us a few extra perks so I could get onto a bottle of wine out in the vestry, you know, before, you know, any time you wanted. So that wasn't too bad, you know. And then so my schooling's up and now I'm up to 20 years of age. And that was, most years weren't even born then. But that was back when the Vietnam War was on. And so I got called up National Service and I'm drafted. And second intake, 71, I got called up. I was one of the last people to go to Vietnam. When I was in Vietnam, I was detached to the Australian Army training team, Vietnam, in a place called Van Kep. And things weren't too bad. Already with Australia, we'd lost 505 guys killed, and I didn't want to be one of those statistics. And so I got quite scared, actually. And the helicopters were coming in between 4 and 5 next morning to take us out on the first operation that had been on. And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't ready for it. It was a very hot, humid night in Van Kep with mosquitoes about that long. You know, I know you don't get mosquitoes in Tasmania, but up our way you do. Well, you used to get them. I know you did down here because when I used to go fishing. But anyway, so the choppers were coming in. This is what I did. I'm not sure what everyone else was doing, but I went outside this night and I looked up in the sky and I said these words. I said, "God, if you are real, please look after me." Now, when I said those words, I thought, you're in trouble. Because, see, up until then, as a little Sunday school boy, as a grammar school boy, singing in the choir, older boy, I really didn't even question about God. I just believed God was real. I was not anti-God. But here, I say, "God, if you're real, please look after me." I thought, I'm in trouble because I don't even know if he's real. And I thought, I'm not in a good place. I really better not die now. Because, see, I just knew just enough about heaven and hell that, you know, you could go up, I could go down. And I didn't want to go down. I just heard enough of that. But God did look after me. I remember it was probably 2 days later, we're coming through the paddy fields and the real thing happened and the gun started firing and everything. But I was here on a paddy field bun and I just knew, somehow I knew it was going to be all right. In fact, everyone was all right. There was no one got even hurt that day. And it was amazing. But God did look after me. There was a couple of scary times. I made it back came back to Sydney. There was another guy. He was not a Vietnam vet, but he was a Christian guy, born-again Christian, and he said to me, "Peter, you must be born again." Because I was an Anglican boy, and I never heard about being born again. But anyway, he takes me to church, and I went to, I don't know if you know it, in Parramatta, Sydney. It was a Christian Missionary Alliance church. That was the first time that I, under conviction, really heard the gospel, how Jesus loved me, how he died in my place. And that night, I bowed my knee and I said, "Jesus, I give you my life." Since that day, my life has been absolutely affected. But there was a time I was tracking on. I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, been water baptized, and I just had a couple of hiccups on the way. Can anyone relate that? Has anyone, even as a Christian, had a couple of hiccups? Okay, I had a hiccup, but I didn't really have someone, I'm not talking about real gross sin or anything. I just really was detached, really not really connected into the local church. That was probably where it all went wrong. That's why I believe in the local church. That's why the church I'm part of now, I've been part of that church for 30 years. That's amazing, isn't it? 30 years. And some people think, how do you stay that long? It's quite easy. You know, I've got an office there. My wife works with me and I'm not on staff there. I don't need to be on staff because you've got no idea how much finance comes my way. God looks after me. So that's it. I don't work now. I've worked. I've had businesses and everything like that. But anyway, God looks after that. But here I am. I get saved and I'd slipped up. But you know what happened? It was like condemnation came my way. And it was like the enemy. This is what the devil said to me. He said, "Well, it was good while it lasted." I don't know if you can relate to that. It was good while it lasted. And I thought, wow, I did. I enjoyed the trip. I enjoyed it. It was quite good. But condemnation pushed me away from God. Condemnation told me I was not good enough. Condemnation told me, "Well, just give up. You're going to hell. And so I thought, if I'm going to hell, I'll go there for a reason. So I went off and I just was a bad boy. Bless God, because I met my wife then and she got me on track. She was not a Christian at the time. And so we connected up. I was in construction foreman, worked away around Australia. We got to Mackay, where we still live now, and we'd got married. We had our first child. Tara was 6 months old. And I said to Karen, I said, you need to go to church. And she said, well, you come with me. She didn't even buck. She was not even Andy. And she said, go to church. She said, you come with me. I said, it's too late for me. She said, what do you mean it's too late? I said, look, don't worry about it. It's just a long story. See, I was backsliding. But she goes down. She gets saved. She gets born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, first meeting she goes to. She comes home, and I think, wow, oh, well, she can go to heaven. She'll take my daughter there. I'm still going down. And she said to me, I had to talk to the pastor tonight, and he said, it's not too late for you. He wants to see you. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
And so I get to church, and I got a great love for he's not my pastor now. He was a senior pastor then, but he sort of left. And the pastor that I have now, he was the 2IC then. He was the associate pastor at the time. You right? So here we go. And but I get God just came into my world, but I learned something about grace, and that's what I want to talk about here tonight, because it's not too late. If we really had a handle on grace, we'd be out there winning the world. We'd be out there with such a vibrancy. And I'm not saying you haven't got it here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we've got to rekindle that. We must stir what grace is. It's God's undeserved, unmerited kindness of God, His forgiveness. And I want to just look at a couple of stories tonight. And if you want to follow with me, I'm reading from John Gospel of John, chapter 8. It says here, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early next morning he went back again at the temple. And a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who'd been caught in the very act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her to death. What do you say? They were trying to trap Jesus into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and he began to write in the dust with his finger. But they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. So he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. So Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even anyone condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This is an amazing, amazing story. Here's this girl, and it could have been anyone. It could have been a boy, but just this. I'll talk about a boy in another story in a minute. Or a man, but here's this girl, and she gets caught in this situation, and they come and religion brings her right before the whole crowd, stands her in front of the crowd. That's what the devil will do. That's what religion will do. We'll try to expose you, embarrass you, and put you in front of everyone just to make a mockery and make a shame of you. And so here she is, and they say, righto, Jesus, the law says she's condemned. The law says stone her to death. What do you say? And Jesus said, this is what I say. And Jesus stooped down and began to write in the sand, right, in the dust. He begins to write. This is what I believed he was writing. I believe Jesus was writing words like forgiveness, grace, another chance. Hey, just love her. Let love flow here. Why do I say that? It doesn't say exactly, because it says here they kept demanding an answer. And it was not the answer they wanted to hear. He was writing in the dust, right? He writes something else in a minute that we'll go into. But see, it wasn't what he wrote the second time. It was something else. But he was writing. But they kept demanding an answer. And that tells me it's not the answer they wanted to hear. Religion doesn't want to hear grace. Religion doesn't want to hear love. Religion doesn't want to hear a second chance. Because religion, condemnation says, stone her to death. Pay the penalty. you're gone. It's too late for you. Can you see where I'm coming from tonight? And so they said, well, hey, we want an answer. I mean, they were indignant. They were mad at Jesus. They would have been abusing, swearing at him and just carrying on. And he stands up again. He said, okay then, okay. I'll give you an answer then. I'll give you the answer. But the one without sin, right, you go throw the first stone. So he gets down again and he begins to write. But he's writing something different now. He's writing the Ten Commandments. He's beginning to write down what the law says. All through the Ten Commandments. We've all broken the Ten Commandments. There's only one person that never ever broke them. And that was Jesus Christ. It's an impossibility. We've got to get a handle on that. It's an impossibility for you and I to keep the Ten Commandments. People are, you know, they've got posters out about the Ten Commandments. I don't know why they put that up. You want to just put John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's what we need. We just need grace. We need that. There's no way we could do it. But Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. He's the only one. So he gets down and begins to write the Ten Commandments and then started from the oldest. I guess the oldest one, when he'd probably done more stuff. He'd stuffed it all up. He'd messed it. So he had to be first to go. He had that much sin. He was up to his eyeballs in sin. So he goes. There's none left. And then Jesus stands up again and he says to this young girl, he said, hey, where's your accusers? She said, there's none left, Lord. He said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. There's incredible stories in here about no condemnation, the gift of no condemnation. Because Jesus knows if we can get a handle, God knows, if we can get a handle on when we feel thoroughly loved. I'll ask you this. When do you do ugly stuff? Is it when you're not feeling good about yourself? Come on. When you're feeling rejected, not accepted, life's just not going too well, you just feel like you've just messed it up, you're not good enough, all those things. That's when you become a candidate to slip up. Hasn't changed. People put their hand up here tonight, the same thing. But Jesus, he says, if I can show you what love is, if I can show you what grace really is, it's going to empower you to get out of sin. Once you know how much Jesus loves you, it'll empower you to break addictions on our life, whatever it may be. You know, even drug addicts, people are hooked on all sorts of sexual immorality, whatever it may be. When you really feel good about yourself, when you know Jesus loves you, it will break. It will empower you to break the power of the enemy. It'll break that addiction. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand. It's powerful. This stuff is so, so real. He said, I'm not condemning you. No wonder Jesus had so many people following him. He wasn't condemning them. He says, hey, I'm come to give you life. Hey, I believe in you. Hey, follow me. I can help you through this situation. Come on. Come on. The devil said to me, well, it was good while it lasted. And because when he said that to me, I thought, well, you're right too. I was really enjoying Christianity. I thought I knew I was going to heaven. I was right. But when condemnation comes, it'll spin that whole thing around. It spun me around for 3 years. I learned a lot then. I get great delight in traveling the world, telling people, hey, there is therefore now no condemnation when you give your life to Jesus Christ. When he comes into your world, his stamp is upon you. That's like this I was sharing this morning, actually, down in the Huon Church there. But when I gave my wife a gift a few years ago on our 30th wedding anniversary, or actually before that, I bought her quite expensive. It was something like $1,000, and they were reduced. I got a good deal, $1,000 for these pearls, right? They were real ones. I hope they were real. They gave me a ticket, a thing of authenticity, saying that these are the real things. But when I gave my wife that gift, I didn't say, well, listen, as soon as I don't like you, as soon as you do something bad, I'm going to take those pearls back again. When you give a gift, you give a gift. It's the same when Jesus, he gives us life and he gives us forgiveness, the gift of righteousness. When he gives us that new start in life, he doesn't, when you make a mess, you know, because we've already put our hands up before, remember? How many have had a bit of a slip up, even a Christian? All these hands went up. But he didn't go taking back the gift of forgiveness. He didn't come and take back the gift of righteousness. He didn't come back and take the gift of grace. It's still there. My wife has still got the pearls, even when she does ugly stuff. She's not too bad. She's better than me. But that's the same as Jesus. He doesn't come and take it back from you. You know what he does do? Oh, this is what I found. He pours more of his love into you. He pours more of his grace into you. He says, hey, we can get through this. Hey, hang in there with me. Hang in. We're going to get through this. If I can just, I'm not condemning you, no matter what you're doing. And I'm sure in this place tonight, you mightn't come up with the same as this girl. And, you know, and don't forget there was a boy involved there as well, right? So we're not against the girls. There's two here to tango, right? Okay, here we go. You're too young to be laughing like that. I don't know what you're... Anyway. But it's amazing. Let's cross over to another story. And I think you might have something tonight. Does this screen work? Is that a screen? Have we got a sycamore tree here tonight? Oh, look at that. Well done, guys. Who got that? That's a sycamore tree. Have a look at that. That's better than the one I Googled. That's amazing. That's great. Anyway, we'll come to that. Here it is. This is about, what do you say in this church, Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, righto, that's where we are. I thought I was right. You know, if I was in another church and they say Zacchaeus, I'll say, yeah, I knew I was right. Righto, here we go. This is in Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho. Now, I remember when I Googled, sycamore trees on Jericho Road. I'm not sure if that's where you got this one from, but there's a heap of sycamore trees still there. Now, this is Tasmania. You've got all the Huon pines. Some of those Huon pines are how old? Thousands of years old? Okay. Now this is only 2,000 years ago. That could be not stretching the, you know, we're not lying, we're not. It could be a same tree that was there when Jesus was there. Is that true? Could be. It's only 2,000 years ago and there's still trees around. All right, so there we go. So we're going to be looking now and saying, is that it? I wonder if that's the same tree. Okay, Jesus entered Jericho and he made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector of all the region. He'd become very rich. He became very rich, right, because he was a crook. He was a thief. He tried to get a good look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree, just like this, what you're looking at, beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. There's some strong words in this scripture. Great excitement and joy. Some words we need to look and just mull them over and just think, hey, now that's an exciting word. This means something. But the people were displeased because he'd gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. And they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor. And Lord, if I've cheated people in their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. I love this story. This is an amazing, amazing story. Here's Zacchaeus, and he's a little statured fella, little dwarf. I remember I was preaching one time in the Philippines and the interpreter they gave me was a little dwarf. He's only a little fella. Wish I had a picture here to do. Because what I did, I said, oh, where's my interpreter? I'm down here. And I looked down and here's this little dwarf. And I thought, wow. I thought I can't stand it. Because he was only just up here. I thought, oh, I can't stand up the whole time. So you know what I did? Hope you can see this. I actually took my shoes off. It looks quite funny, really. I took my shoes off. Can everyone see that back there? It looks funny when you do it. And I knelt down in my shoes. Right? Can you see that? And so it makes you look like a dwarf. Do I look like a dwarf? Let me see your hand if you think I look like a dwarf. You do when you look at these shoes like that. And I knelt down there and preached for half an hour. There was only one problem. I got to the end and I said, can somebody please get me up? I had rigor mortis in the knees and everything like this. I put my shoes on. They're so comfortable, so spongy. Anyway, so here we were. But here's this guy, you know, he would have been teased. People, ever been teased at school? Anyone? Yeah. Oh, there's a few hands going up. You're not trying to embarrass anyone. I remember when I was just a young boy, there was a girl up the road. She was just to, you know, play with us, come down and play. And she was teasing me one day. I forget what it was about. But she was saying things. And I went in and told my mother. I said, oh, yeah, she's teasing me. And Mum said, oh, just go and tell her sticks and stones break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And I went out there, sticks and stones, you know, names will never hurt me. But you know what? As I grew up, I found, hey, names do hurt people. Names do hurt people. And Zacchaeus is no different. Zacchaeus, to me, I think he was probably a hurt guy. You know, he was carrying some pain. In fact, I think he probably got great delight out of, the, you know, robbing these people. You know, he's collecting the taxes, and he'd be chuckling himself, say, hey, you remember at school when you used to laugh at me and call me old names? Put some extra money in the plate, you know, in the bag. And so he made himself very, very rich out of this. But he hears that Jesus is coming through, passing through Jericho. He says, I've got to have a look at this guy. He'd heard so much about Jesus. He had rejection. He was suffering pain, and he had no identity. He just had no vision, really, apart from just making some money. But long term, because we all know, you know, money, the Bible says money is the answer of all things. Money can help you there, but really it's that relationship with Jesus that the whole world is crying out for. You can have heaps of money. You are some of the multi, you know, billionaires, got all the money on the planet. Some that have died without Christ on their deathbeds said it was just all in vain. So here's Zacchaeus, and he says, hey, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get down there and I'm going to get up there in the sycamore tree. What gave him the idea of getting in the sycamore tree? It wasn't only Zacchaeus in the tree, I'm sure. All the kids were there. Kids are smart. Because he was only the size of another little boy. Kids are smart. You got kids? My kids are smart. And so all the kids would have said, hey, we can't see over the crowd, but we'll go up to our favorite sycamore tree and we'll get up there and we'll just watch the procession pass by and we'll watch Jesus pass by. So here's Zacchaeus. Here he is. He gets down there and he says he gets up in that tree. Can you see him up there with all the kids? Amazing. And he's up there and he's looking out, probably inconspicuous really, because I think he could hide quite well in that tree. But Jesus comes walking down the road, and Jesus stops under that tree and he calls out to him and he says, hey, Zacchaeus. He just doesn't say, hey, Zacchaeus, come on, I'm coming home. He says, Zacchaeus, quickly, come on. This is, make a decision right now, Zacchaeus. Come on, make a quick decision. Get out of that tree as quick as you can because I want to come home to your house today. He knew his name. You know, Jesus, God knows every name in this place here tonight. Our name is written in the palm of his hand. In fact, all Hobart, all Tasmania, all Australia, the whole world is written in the palm of his hand. He knows everybody. And the whole thing is Jesus, God, the Father, the Holy Ghost, he's so in love with every person, not willing that any should perish and go to a lost eternity. You know, the Bible says that hell has enlarged itself to accommodate those who will descend into it. What a tragedy. What a tragic scripture to be put in there. Because if it says, why has hell enlarged itself? Why? Because the devil has hoodwinked so many people. Because the hell was made for the devil and the fallen angels. That's what the Bible says. But why would it enlarge itself? Because people haven't been told yet or somewhere, and the devil's convinced them, hey, it's too late. You're not good enough. Just follow me. I'm going to a lost eternity. How tragic it is. And so here's Zacchaeus. Jesus calls out to him. I'm sure this guy, all rejection started to melt away. All hurt started to melt away because he'd heard about this Jesus. He'd heard about this Jesus was going through the whole countryside just forgiving people and setting people free and opening blind eyes and deaf ears and all the cripples were getting up. Jesus was just spreading his love just like something just chronic over the whole place. And he felt this just rejection just begin to leave him. And I reckon he took a bit of bark off himself as he come out of that tree so fast. And he goes home with Jesus. It's amazing how Jesus didn't condemn him. It's amazing how Jesus knew he was a thief. He knew he was a notorious sinner. Doesn't matter what we've done in this place tonight. Jesus says, hey, I don't condemn you. All I'm here for is to give you new life. All I'm here for is to forgive you. All I'm here for is to give you a brand new start. And so here I was, here's Zacchaeus up in the tree there with all the kids. And Jesus says, come on down, Zacchaeus, you're coming home with me. Jesus said nothing about his money, but this is amazing. How Zacchaeus says, hey, Jesus, I just got this great idea. He said, I'm going to give half my money to the poor. I'm just going to give half it away straight away. Boy, I feel thoroughly loved. You can only give. If you've given, well, it doesn't matter. It's all relative, really. But, you know, when you give a large sum of money, even a small amount, like I said, it's all relative, right? So I'm not putting a figure on it. But, you know, when you give to God, it does me good when I give money away. It makes me feel good. And so he's no different. He's feeling good. He's just feeling accepted. He's feeling, hey, Jesus loves me. Jesus is not condemning me. Everyone else, every time they come by and they pay their taxes, they call me a mongrel and they call me a thief and they call me you idiot and everything and they all these names and everything. I don't feel good about that, but boy, I feel good about Jesus. He's taking me home. I just see love coming out of here. I just feel love coming out of him. Everything's all the hurt and all the pain is just melting away. I feel that excited. He pulls his wallet out and he says, hey, I'm going to give half it away for a start. And then he said, hey, if I've ripped anyone off, I'm going to just restore fourfold. That's amazing. And Jesus says to him, hey, all that generosity, Zacchaeus, that's come because my love has hit you. Salvation has hit you. And all you're doing, this is just an outworking. You can't help but by being generous. When Jesus really touches your life, you can't help but be generous. You can't help but want to give money away. You can't help but support when you feel loved. To me, it's having a love thing in our life. Just as I'm just coming to a close right now. And so Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house today. As I'm coming to a close right across this place, in this place tonight, God wants to bring no condemnation to every person in this place. You could be here tonight because maybe a friend has brought you. They've said, hey, come along to Energizer Church. Come along to my church tonight because there's some great music there and someone's going to share tonight, no matter who it is, and they go, share a word and there's going to be some good words and there's going to be opportunity for Jesus to come and love you in Energizer Church in Bellarive, right here, right now, tonight. And you might have come along tonight and you're just like Zacchaeus. You just stuffed a few things up. Your life is just not going too well, but you're up in that tree. You're just looking from a distance. Zacchaeus is just looking from a distance. But Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come out of the tree tonight. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is wooing and touching every one of us in this place tonight, saying, hey, boy, I love you. Why don't you come out of the tree tonight? I want to come home to your house. Do you know what Jesus wants to do tonight? He wants to come home to your house. Boy, that's amazing. You know, as I speak right now, I get quite touched because every time I can't wait to get to a place like this, even in an altar call, just giving opportunity because I relive the moment when Jesus came into my world. And I remember the time I was in a meeting just like this. And Jesus, I came out of the tree that night. I came out of that place of just observing from a distance. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Peter, Jesus wants to go home with you tonight. I took him home that night and he's been in my heart ever since. And I still just get to know more and more. I don't know everything, but I do know this. I do know this. God's grace is for every person in this place tonight. With every eye closed, every head bowed, this is so real. Jesus is saying, come out of the tree tonight. I want to go home to your house tonight. I want to forgive you. I want to make it all right. I've got a better life for you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus says, I forgive.